or broke to millionaire, and how you can have the blueprint for a successful solopreneur. Liz Stable will tell us how, and in 2018, she launched Professional Independent Consultants of America, an educational organization and community that helps people start and grow their own solo businesses. And Liz is also known as the Yoda for solopreneurs' success. So tell us, please, Liz, how can entrepreneurs who are broke become millionaires?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Well, I wish it was as simple as just clicking your heels three times and making a wish. But yes, it is a little bit more complicated than that. The most important thing, you know, I have a book published on this, so obviously there's a lot to talk about here. But I'd say the very one single most critical element is confidence. It takes an enormous amount of confidence to step out on your own, to try new things, and to open your own business as a solopreneur or as an entrepreneur.
Thank you. What would you say is the secret to your success as a solopreneur?
The secret to my own success was to be constantly learning and trying new things, constantly innovating, trying new pricing models, trying new markets, trying new branding messages, studying what's worked for my own business and what's worked for other people. I've been a student of other people's actions and success for decades. And I'm like, oh, well, I could borrow this from Lily and I can borrow this from Joe and I can adapt this that Sue's been doing and then incorporating that into my own branding and marketing efforts.
Thank you. So what are the pillars of becoming a successful solopreneur?
The pillars, well, I already said the foundation's got to be confidence. But in my book, actually, the subtitle is Six Keys to Taking the Leap, Winning Clients, and Building Wealth. So the first, which has to do with confidence, is overcoming FUD, which is fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Because every self-employed person has what I call FUD from time to time. And you have to learn how to mitigate that and tame it and use it to your advantage. So that's the one of the first keys. The second is to be known for something and be memorable. A lot of people think they need to go to market as a jack of all trades or a Jill of all skills, but the reverse is true, because if you put yourself in your client's shoes, they want to hire an expert. They don't want to hire a jack of all trades. The third key is to constantly grow and nourish your network, because you never know where your next lead is going to come from. And if you just rely on your existing network, eventually you will be tapped out. So you have to constantly plant new seeds. The fourth key is to be professional and be a business. So don't just do it in a haphazard way. In the States in particular, you can be hired as a contractor or on a business-to-business basis. And the only way to really make true money is to set up your own business, which actually leads to the sixth key. So I'm just skipping over number five. But the sixth key is to pay less tax and keep more of what you earn. And then going back to number five, this is super important. Charge what you're worth. That's the single biggest mistake I see people make, is they undercharge for their services and expertise.
Thank you. Tell us more about FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. How does someone overcome that to become a millionaire?
Yeah, well, it's a constant battle. So I've been self-employed since 2004. So for over 20 years, I was laid off from my corporate job with a Fortune 500 company. And I fell into being a self-employed consultant, which is a different story that you didn't ask about. But when you're just starting out and you're thinking of being self-employed, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt is larger than life. And I always picture this I call it the FUD monster. I picture this little being on my shoulder that's whispering in your ear that says, who are you going to leave a full-time job? What do you know about setting your own business? You don't know anything about pricing. You don't know how to negotiate a contract. You must be nuts to give up full-time benefits and health insurance. All of those little things that will nibble away at your confidence. The first thing, I call it the name it and tame it method, is you have to realize, you have to slow down your brain and your thoughts enough to actually hear the FUD monster. And so I am a huge fan of just sitting quietly for 10 minutes every morning before I get out of bed to slow down my thoughts and my brain. I don't call it meditation because that means that there might be a proper way to do it, but just to slow down my thoughts and hear what my brain is saying. And if you can capture one of those messages that the FUD monster is whispering, then you can dissect it and you can say, oh, so I'm uncertain about how to price my services. Okay, well, how can I learn more about that so that I have more confidence and I know that I'm doing it the right way? How can I learn more about it? And so if you can capture the thoughts, you can name the thought and you can tame the FUD monster.
Thank you. Tell us more about charging your worth, because I think as you're starting out, let's say you are a solopreneur for the very first time and there's nobody in your family who's ever done any sort of like negotiating or business of any sort. You come from a family of academics and you've got like this job, and then all of a sudden you're laid off or somehow you're a broke entrepreneur and you've just not succeeded in your business. How do you go from that to actually charging what you're worth? Because I think in the beginning, it's like you're almost forced to get whatever you can get. And then with time, I guess that you can charge what you're worth. Would you agree there? Or would you say that actually, no, you can charge what you're worth from the beginning because it's all about positioning, branding and marketing and who you know?
There are arguments to be made for both sides of that story. But I am a firm believer of going out with confidence and charging what you're worth from the get-go. And there's a couple of reasons for this. One is, if you price your services too low, people might not think you're that good. Okay, so there's a lot of perception in pricing. There's the whole psychology to pricing. So there's that. You don't want to price too low because people will think that you're cheap or you're not good at what you do. The other argument against going in with a low price is that it's very difficult to raise your price later, particularly if you want repeat business with a client. Let's say you're doing consulting work for a company and you go in to get your foot in the door at some crazy low rate. And then 3 months later, you realize, oh, I'm undercharging. I need to raise my rates. It's exceptionally difficult to raise your rate once you're already in with a client. So that's another reason why I don't agree with going in low. So how to price your services for what you're actually worth? There's a couple different formulas in my book that teach people how to benchmark and figure out what that rate would be. There's a common formula where you would take your full-time salary plus including benefits and bonuses, all that sort of thing. You divide by 2,000. Because that's the approximate number of working hours in a year. And that's going to give you a base number. Let's say it's $150 or 150 euros or whatever. That is actually too low. Because when you're self-employed, you're not all 2,000 hours of those working hours are going to be billable to other people. You're going to have to spend time on doing administration and billing and building out your website and doing your marketing. And plus, you have to pay in the States anyway, you have to pay self-employment tax. So you have to add a certain percentage to that base rate so that you're covering the cost of being in business for yourself. I'd say add anywhere from 30 to 60% more than what that base rate is. But the point is to not pull a number out of the sky. You just pull a number out of your imagination. You don't have any confidence when you quote that number. Like I could tell you, Lily, oh, I charge $450 an hour. But if I don't have the confidence or have done the homework to back that number up, people will sense that it's negotiable and it's going to be hard for you to sell it with conviction. So that's why doing benchmarking, going through all these different formulas to figure out your rate is so important. And then steadily increase it over time. I always encourage people that at the end of every year that you should think about implementing a price increase, because inflation goes up every year, and the best time to raise your rates is on the cusp of something new. A new year, a new client, a new contract, always continue to inch it up every single time.
Thank you. What are the best sales techniques for a broke entrepreneur to become a millionaire?
Well, it's not just about selling, for one thing. When you're self-employed, it can often feel like a treadmill. Like you're doing a project and you're paying your bills and you're keeping your head above water, but you're not really making any forward progress. So it's more about, yes, sales is important. Obviously, you need revenue, but it's actually more about living within your means and saving and investing wisely. So my favorite trick, all the 20 some odd years that I was self-employed, was every time a client paid an invoice, I took in the early years 40% of every invoice that was paid and I put it into a separate bank. Not into my savings account at my normal bank, but a whole separate bank. Because when I log in to check in my balance or pay my bills, I don't want to see that I have $10,000 sitting there, because then I'll think, ooh, I can go on vacation. I have no fiscal discipline whatsoever. So I used to hide the money from myself. Then when I, in the States, we have to pay quarterly taxes. When it was time to pay quarterly taxes, I'd transfer the money I needed from the secret bank to my normal bank and I'd pay the taxes. Then when it came time to do my annual tax return, lo and behold, there'd be anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 left over. That money went into my retirement account. So that's how I managed to, and then of course I invested that. So that's how I managed to, over time, squirrel money away, invest it wisely. And really, it's not that hard. You can buy ETFs to, you know, mirror the market, and that grows over time. And that's really the goose that laid the golden eggs. That's how I really became a millionaire, was by hiding money from myself into the secret bank and investing it.
Thank you. What about people who are starting out? I wouldn't think that most people starting out have any money to hide from themselves. They're just scraping by, perhaps in the beginning, right? When they're just getting their first few clients. When can they start doing this process of investing and not using up all their money on their expenses?
Okay, so let me confess, there were definitely some lean times when I couldn't put 40% into the secret bank account. And in fact, I often, well, maybe not often, but several times over the years, had to borrow money from the secret account just to pay, you know, the rent, the mortgage, childhood. You know, I was a single mom in San Francisco. It's expensive. So there were times I had to borrow from the secret account, and then I'd put a sticky note right on my computer that says, you owe yourself $5,000 or whatever the situation was. So there are definitely lean times. But for somebody who's just starting out, it's not so much about how much you put in, it's about establishing the habit. Years ago, they used to call this paying yourself first, which never made any sense to me. But even if it's $100 a month that you can put into this separate bank account, or hide from yourself, or put towards an investment, it's establishing the practice. There's a hugely popular book called Atomic Habits, and it talks about how little adjustments and little habits over time can have tremendous results. And this is one such habit. Even if it's $50 a month, whatever, just get in the habit of squirreling a little money away, and then eventually it will grow.
Thank you. What's a solopreneur? Is a solopreneur someone who is the only person working in the business, or is it a person who has also a team?
Both. So a solopreneur is a person who does not have official employees. So they are self-employed. They may have a corporate structure, like, you know, they might be a limited liability partnership or a limited liability company, or in the States, they could just be a sole proprietorship, or they might even have a C corp, but they don't have full-time employees or really any employees. They also tend not to manufacture things. It's mostly knowledge workers. So you think independent consultants, executive coaches, financial planners, people who are selling their knowledge and expertise. Now, this doesn't mean that they're doing it alone. So for example, I run two businesses, and one of them makes several million dollars a year. And I have a team of four people that help me run that business. None of them are employees. They're all part-time. They're all paid on either hourly or commission. And we have contracts in place, and they all have other clients. So there is a way to scale your business without full-time employees. It's a little tricky in the States with our legal environment of contractors versus employees, but it is possible to grow your business into a multi-million dollar business without employees. So technically, I'm still a solopreneur, even though my business is generating multi-billions of dollars every year.
Thank you. What mindset shifts or other shifts are required for someone to go from broke to millionaire?
Well, it depends on where you start. So let's say that you have, it's not as common in Europe, but in the States, it's very common where people get laid off or lose their jobs. Even if it's a government, particularly now with the Trump administration, even if it's a government job, you can lose your job overnight. And a lot of it depends on your attitude. Now, when I talk about this, I'm always reminded of my brother, who was in his late 50s. He got laid off after decades with the same company. And I said, Jeff, why don't you become a consultant and consult back to the industry? You've got all these decades of experience. It's not that difficult. I can help you figure out how to launch it and set it up. And he says, no, sis. He says, who's going to hire a middle-aged white guy? And I said, well, no one with that attitude. So that's the number one mindset shift right there. You might think it's the worst time to strike out on your own, or it could be the best time to strike out on your own, but it all begins with a mindset shift that, yeah, I'm smart enough to figure this out. So yes, I've got the FUD monster whispering in my ear, and I don't know the slightest thing about pricing my services or negotiating a contract, but I'm smart enough to learn those things. So I know I can do this. So that's the number one mindset shift.
Thank you. What would you say are the characteristics that made you so successful? What are some personality traits or some things that you've done that you can say are your 10 commandments?
Well, there's actually the second chapter of my book is Character Strengths of a Solopreneur. So again, I could go a long time about this, but the few that popped to mind, one is some people call it grit. I call it stubbornness. Some people call it resilience, but it's not giving up. Just knowing that this is what I want to do. I know I'm smart enough to do this. I know I'm smart enough to figure this out. I'm going to make this work. And there have definitely been some really dark times in my 20 years of being a solopreneur. In fact, I tell the story in the book. It was my daughter's bath time. She was like 5 years old. And like I mentioned before, I was a single mom, and it was time to wash her hair. She says, no, Mom, we're not going to wash my hair today. I said, yes, Kate, we need to wash your hair. She's like, no, Mom, I'm not in the mood. We're not going to do it. Because, you know, little kids will pick their battles. And I just sat down on the floor and started sobbing. I was so stressed out. I came apart at the seams, and I was just weeping. And her eyes got me. Mom, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You can wash my hair. What's wrong? And I said, honey, it's not you. It's just me. I have so much going on and I'm so stressed out. Like a five-year-old's going to know what stressed out means. But she could tell that I was visibly upset. And so you just have to dig deep and think, okay, something's not working. How can I untangle this mess that I've gotten myself into? What's in my hands to fix or to tweak or to change? Because there's a lot of things that influence us, but we don't have the power to change anything. And so I was able to put my daughter to bed and then sit down with just a pen and paper or blank word document and said, okay, this is what needs to change. And that, by putting one foot in front of the other, that's how I dug myself out of the hole. So I would say that resilience, grit, stubbornness, that's one of the key character strengths.
Thank you. Would you say that you had any catalyst moments in your life where someone gave you a break, like someone helped you tremendously, and that was one of the catalytic moments that led to your current success? Did you have any like miraculous moments happen where, I don't know, someone gave you a loan or someone supported you in some way that made a significant difference to becoming a successful millionaire solopreneur?
Yes, I would call it fate. Or I don't know what you want to call it, but the timing is a little bit uncanny. So I said I was a single mom in San Francisco. So this was back in the early 2000 bit, and I started dating an employment lawyer, and I started picking his brain about employment law in the United States. And I said, I've got this idea for this business where instead of every single solopreneur, well, we didn't call them then, independent consultants, setting up their own business and handling, carrying six different types of insurance and dealing with all the red tape of doing business with Fortune 500 companies. But I need to understand employment law, because it seems to me like an agency could do this for people, and so they don't have to all do it themselves. And so I was getting free legal advice, frankly. And by about our third date, he said, okay, are you interested in me, or are you just interested in free legal advice? And I said, frankly, a little of both. So the end of that story is I launched the business. It makes millions of dollars a year. And we're coming up on our 19th anniversary next week.
Thank you. So is the point of the story that you believe in fate as well? Do you believe in something beyond ourselves that can make things happen for us, and in faith and a religion and, I don't know, in something extraordinary that can lead to people becoming successful solopreneurs as well, as in faith, the power of faith as well? Or is it something else that you believe in?
I am going to say yes. I do believe in a power greater than myself. I don't know what to call it. I was raised Catholic, but I don't necessarily pray to a God or the God. But there is something uncanny about when coincidences happen. Years and years ago, I read a short, interesting book called God Winks. So, you know, when you may be at a family holiday and your great uncle from across the table will wink at you, and it's kind of a sign that, hang in there, everything's going to be okay, you're on the right track. Well, the point of this book was that when there's synchronicities or coincidences that happen in your world, it's kind of a way of God saying, you're on the right track. The key is, though, is to have an open mind, have a calm mind, so that you're not so busy doing what you're doing on the treadmill that you don't see these things. So yes, it's taken years for me to train myself to slow down, pay attention to what's going on around me, see opportunities that are coming my way, and do research too. It's not just all gut instinct and faith. There's a lot of hard work and research too. But yes, there can be some fate and coincidences and help along the way.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Oh, well, the easiest way is through the landing page of my book, because the book title is hard to spell, Succeeding as a Solopreneur. My last name is hard to spell. So I created a landing page for all things solopreneurship, and it's sixkeys.info.
Thank you.
Not sixkeys.com, because that's way too expensive. And I'm all about keeping expenses low. So it's sixkeys.info.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.